Please stand for the scripture reading.
Boy, what a beautiful song. May that be our prayer. Our scripture readings this morning is from the New Living Translation. First is from Matthew 6, 14 and 15. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive you of your sins. And then from Colossians 3, 12 through 14. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Amen.
You may be seated. I would like to start with prayer. Jesus, I really do pray for the grace to understand how we've been forgiven, and in the grace to take forgiving those who have hurt us seriously and not harbor it. And Lord, just pray that you speak to our hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen. This is going to be one of the most important sermons I think I give, because I look at the first and foremost as being coming to know Jesus. But forgiveness is so important. Years ago when I was counseling, I did usually multiple marriage seminars. And usually it start Friday evening and go Saturday to the afternoon. But I always would start with forgiveness. And I was very clear, if you're not willing to forgive, then everything you learn is in vain. That's how crucial forgiveness is. And as Christians, when we look at the scriptures, we know we're supposed to forgive. We are commanded, and we are clearly warned, as like what John read in the scriptures today. If you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. Okay, I don't know about for you, that makes me tremble. Because I'd be the first to admit, I struggle with forgiveness. It just doesn't come naturally. There are some personalities that like, oh yeah, no big deal. I'm not one of those. I wrestle with it. But I know what the scriptures say, so it forces me to wrestle. Because there's a clear warning, and I don't know how you get around it. And with that forgiveness, I truthfully, in my flesh, I want a tooth for a tooth and an eye for an eye. I want justice. I don't want to give mercy. But that's not what the scriptures say. And if I truly understand my sin and what I've been forgiven for, it should make me want to forgive others. But I don't think we understand that very well. I really don't think we understand the depths, the debt of our sin that's been paid. I think Jesus says it well in Matthew 18, verses 23 through 34. I'm going to read it. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle the accounts, one who brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Okay, let's just stop there. Because we don't pay money in talents. You know, so how much is a talent? How much is 10,000 talents? Well, one talent is equal to 20 years of wages. If you looked at talents right now and you added them up, it's like over $13 billion. The point in this, when Jesus used 10,000 talents, is an unpayable debt, period. You cannot pay it. There's no way the servant could pay the debt. It's the same for us. There's no way we can pay the debt of our sin, period. Well, let's continue. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered they be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell to his knees, pleading with him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him of the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. So how much is 100 denarii? 20,000 to 30,000. He laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. So the fellow servant fell down at his feet and entreated him, saying, have patience with me. I will pay you everything. But he would not, and he went and threw him in prison until he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what took place, they were very sorry and went and told their master all that had taken place. Then his master, after he had summoned him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave all the debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? His master was angry and delivered him to the jailers. Many translations have torturers instead of jailers, until he could pay his debt. I don't know, but when I read that scripture, it does make me tremble, because I'm sorry, it sure sounds like hell if I'm not willing to forgive. I mean, and I want to say, if you're thrown in jail and let's say you own $1 billion, how are you going to pay it back when you're in jail? I've never figured that one out. Especially all your family went with you. There's no hope. Again, Jesus ends this parable in verse 35 with, again, a firm warning. He says, so also my Father in heaven will do to each of you if from your heart you do not forgive your brother or sister for their transgressions. But this is not the only warning. I'm just going to read some other verses that Jesus said. Matthew 6, 14 through 15, what John read. If you forgive others the wrongs they do to you, your Father in heaven will forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Mark 11, 25. When you are praying, if you're angry with someone, forgive him, so that the Father in heaven will also forgive your sins. Luke 6, 36. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Do not accuse others of being guilty, and you will not be accused of being guilty. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Even the Apostle Paul talks about the importance of forgiving. And in Colossians 3:13, he says, make allowance for each other's faults. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. I don't know about for you, but I feel a little of anxiety. It's like, oh God, help me. And we need to remember that forgiveness is a choice. It doesn't mean that there's this overwhelming desire, oh, I can't wait to forgive them. You got to remember, there's a lot of hurt. There's a reason why we take offense. Sometimes I've taken offense over stupid things, but usually those things are easy to get over. But when you've been betrayed or deeply wounded, it's hard. There's some studies that have said those major offenses that really wound us take up to 2 years to be able to fully release. And I would agree. But I think here's the issue with forgiveness and what Jesus is talking about. Be careful when we justify our unforgiveness. When I say justify, you don't want to forgive. There's a difference between wanting to forgive and not wanting to forgive, obviously. And there's a process in forgiving. So if I harden my heart, I don't want to go through that process. I just want to hate them. Be careful. But be willing to go through the process of forgiving. I don't think Jesus is, because I really worry about my salvation or going to heaven if it isn't a process and I have to do it right away. And I don't think Jesus is saying that at all. But when I've seen the people who have justified their unforgiveness and are unwilling, it hinders the spirit and they become bitter and they get stuck. But those who are willing to go forward find freedom. And actually the studies will say that. There's the people who are willing to go forward in the process find freedom. Those who are not willing to forgive get stuck where they're at and often become a victim. And we also need to remember that forgiveness is not a one-time deal. Sometimes it is. But most of the time, I'm reminded when I meet that person of what they done to me. And I have that choice. Am I going to pick it up or remind myself I've forgiven them and ask Jesus, okay, I got to lay it before you again. Help me to love them. I also want to say forgiveness is also not, doesn't mean I'm going to trust them. Let's say someone that sexually abuses one of my daughters. Okay. There's a whole process of forgiving them. But let's not be stupid about, oh, I'm going to trust them. No. Trust is something that's earned over time. It has nothing to do with forgiveness. It may occur over time if the relationship heals. But I want to say there are sins that are have lifelong consequences. And we need to accept that. And that forgiveness goes against our sense of justice. We want justice. Is my sense of justice greater than God's justice? No. Is my sense of mercy greater than God's? No, his mercy is perfect. And mercy means not getting what we deserve. What I deserve is hell. And because of what Jesus did, God having mercy through Jesus Christ, I can walk with him and I can know him. I inherit heaven. Something I don't deserve. I deserve hell. I'm very aware of it. So why should we forgive? I would say for two reasons. First, and not the most important reason, but the first reason is because of what it does to us inside. When we hold on to forgiveness, it makes us bitter. It makes us angry. It makes us focus on hurt because we can't get past it. I've dealt with people in their 80s who were hurt when they're young and are stuck there because they are not able to forgive. We need to remember that unforgiveness binds us. It holds us in bondage. It does not protect us. I would say the first, for me, when I've struggled with it, sometimes I think, in my warped mind, that my anger and hatred to a person protects me. Who am I putting my trust in? Who am I fooling? It just binds me. So, unforgiveness destroys us from the inside out. It brings death. And it changes us in a bad way. So there's that point. If you're wrestling with unforgiveness, it's like, do you want to remain where you're at? Or do you want to move forward? Secondly, and the most important reason, we choose to forgive because we want to be right before God. He has warned us and he has commanded us to forgive. To me, it's not, if I love Jesus, it's not an option to walk in unforgiveness. Because I love him. I want to be right before him. And I want to forgive as I've been forgiven. And I want to say, I can only do that by his grace. It does not come naturally. But because he said, forgive as you've been forgiven, then I need to go down that process, even though my flesh doesn't want to. So how do we forgive? Okay, I'm no expert on forgiveness. And I would say, the process has some steps, but there's no specific order. And there's steps that some people don't need to do, and other people do need to do. But I'm going to throw some things out. There's no order here. But I know for me, when I'm stuck, I need to begin praying, God, help me want to forgive. Because truthfully, there's part of me I can let go, and there's a part of me like, I don't want to. And I need God's grace to help me want to forgive. And so that's what I begin praying. God, help me want to forgive. Because I can feel that heart, that part of me that's like, nope. And I'm always amazed, and you know, usually for me, it's about that two-week period. It's like, okay. And then it begins that process of forgiving. Also, with forgiving, we need to identify the hurt and our grief because of it. Because there are things in certain wounds, there's grief because there's loss. But you need to know what you're forgiving people for. And how often I have to go before the Lord and go, okay, I'm slow. Please show me what I need, what's holding me here that I need to forgive. And then his grace to work it through. I worked with a person for many years, and during that process, her son was murdered. And there was instantly grief, but what was dominant was her anger toward those who murdered her son. And she got stuck there for a while. But then it moved into grief and identifying her grief and being able to let it go. I would say to this day, that forgiveness is still in process. And then sometimes that forgiveness is lifelong. But I know her. When it comes up, she wrestles with it and then lays it before the Lord and says, I forgive them. If you haven't heard, part of that process is just praying for God's grace. Help me to forgive. Because it goes against our nature. Again, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. We want revenge. It is not right. Right. It's not right to hurt. But I want to say you've hurt people too. And above all, you've sinned. So shouldn't we choose to forgive? But I want to say that's not my nature, so I got to ask God to help me. Also, we need to be humble. Because I can't tell you how many times in the years of counseling when I'm dealing with people with unforgiveness, they will say, I would never do that. Or, how could they do such a thing? That sounds like a lot of pride to me. And yeah, there are certain things where I go, wow. But I know without the grace of God in my life, it could be me. So I need to humble myself and go, it could be me, even though it hurts. It could be me and want to forgive. And also in that process of forgiving, we need to accept there's going to be a battle. Christianity drives me batty in terms of just forgive and forget. I'm sorry, that's not even scriptural. And it's not realistic. There are times, as I work through the process, I do For some people, I forget the whole offense. It's been totally forgiven. For others, sometimes it's deeper. I'm more cautious. But I have to choose when that thought comes, look what they did. And I feel that hurt to go, Jesus, I forgive them. I lay it before you again. And then walk in it versus grabbing on and walking in that unforgiveness. It's a battle. I think that forgive and forget is the denial. It's going to be a battle for those bigger offenses. I think of Peter. I think he was trying to justify himself, but in Matthew 18, 21 through 22, it says, Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? No, not seven times, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. I would say it's probably Jesus was just throwing out a number of that because that was in one day. I don't know how you offend someone 490 times in a day. That seems kind of like an impossibility, but I think Jesus is saying here, there's no limit. Just like there is no limit to God's forgiveness toward us. And I think it's important that we understand what God has forgiven us for, because it does humble us. In Colossians 1, 13 through 14, we're reminded, God has freed us from the power of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son. He saved us. We can't forget that. His Son paid for our sins, and in him we have forgiveness. I'm not forgiven because I'm a good person. I'm forgiven because of what Jesus did for me on the cross. We can't forget that. And in Romans 5, 6 through 10, it really describes where we're at and the importance of forgiving. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we were made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. Do you hear that? God loved me and God loved you so much that he died for you while you hated him, while you were rebelling against him. Do we fathom that kind of love? Do we fathom that kind of mercy? And yet, I will justify my unforgiveness towards someone and forget how I have been forgiven. Also, in that process of forgiving, we need to begin praying for the person. Praying that their life becomes right with God. That's love. It isn't praying about, yeah, that they would be convicted of their sin and ask for forgiveness. Yeah, I think we all desire that, and I think that's God's desire too. But for me, when I do that, it's pretty selfish because it's conditional versus truly praying, regardless if I ever see anything, that they become right before God, that they repent. And next week, I'm going to be talking about repentance. Because I think the church is very confused what repentance is. And we need to know what it looks like for ourselves and for other people. And lastly, we need to pray for God's help to love them. Versus hate them. Because our nature is to hate. But when you read the scripture, it's calling us to love. Okay, that love is not blind. But are you on your knees praying for them, wanting what's best? That's love. So, just some thoughts on what forgiveness is and isn't. Like I said before, forgiving and trusting are two separate issues. Sometimes in that process, as we forgive, we trust. And sometimes when there's not an apology or repentance on the other side, we forgive, but that relationship isn't rebuilt. That's okay. It takes two to rebuild a relationship. But it doesn't mean you don't love the other person with the grace, with God's help. I think a great example of what it looks like, I'll back up a little bit. Just some more thoughts on what forgiveness is and isn't. It doesn't mean you still don't have feelings of hurt or anger towards a person. But again, it means I'm not going to hold it against them. I'm going to lay it before Jesus' feet and say, okay, here it's yours. Help me not pick it up. And forgiveness is not forgetting what happened, but reminding yourself you've forgiven them. And they kind of go together there. And I want to say, in that process of forgiving, don't feel guilty. You're on the right course. I think there's that point where we feel guilty because we had that forgiveness isn't complete. It's a process. But I encourage you to go down that process of forgiving because your unforgiveness only binds you. And that unforgiveness leads to bitterness. And the Bible warns about a root of bitterness. Those who have counsel with a root of bitterness, I could never help. But those with a heart of forgiveness were a joy to work with. So what does forgiveness look like for us as Christians? I've kind of said something, but I thought of a great example. If you're familiar with Corrie Ten Boom, she wrote Hiding Place. So she, World War II, she ended up in a concentration camp because her and her family were hiding Jews in their home, and they were found out. Her father died in the concentration camp early on, and then her sister later on. But she tells a story of the wrestling with forgiveness years later. I want to read part of the story. So she's giving a presentation on forgiveness, and here's what happened. And that's when I saw him, working his way forward against the others. One moment, I saw the overcoat and the brown hat. And the next, the blue uniform and a visor cap with its skull and crossbones. It came back with a rush. The huge room with its harsh overhead lights. The pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the center of the room. The shame of walking naked past this man. I could see my sister's frail form ahead of me, ribs sharp beneath the parchment skin. Betsy, how thin you were. Betsy and I had been arrested for concealing Jews in our home during the Nazi occupation of Holland. This man had been a guard at Ravensbrück concentration camp where we were sent. Now he was in front of me, hand thrust out. A fine message, Fraulein. How good it is to know that, as you say, all our sins are at the bottom of the sea. And I, who had spoken so glibly of forgiveness, fumbled with my pocketbook rather than take that hand. He would not remember me, of course. How would he remember one prisoner among thousands of women? But I remembered him and the leather crop swinging from his belt. It was the first time since my release that I had been face to face with one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze. "You mentioned Ravenbrook in your talk," he was saying. "I was a guard there." No, he did not remember me. "But since that time," he went on, I have become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there. But I'd like to hear it from your lips as well, Fraulein." Again, the hand came out. "Will you forgive me?" I stood there. I, whose sins had every day to be forgiven and could not. Betsy had died in that place. Would he erase her slow, terrible death simply for asking? It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out, but to me it seemed like hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I ever had to do. For I had to do it. I knew that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition, that we forgive those who have injured us. "If you do not forgive men their trespasses," Jesus says, "neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." I knew it not only as a commandment of God, but as a daily experience. Since the end of the war, I had come home to Holland for victims of the Nazi brutality. Those who were able to forgive their former enemies were able to return to the outside world and rebuild their lives, no matter what the physical scars were. Those who nursed their bitterness remained invalids. It was as simple and as horrible as that. I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. "Jesus, help me," I prayed silently. "I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling." So woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder and raced down my arm, sprang into our joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. "I forgive you, brother," I cried with all my heart. For a moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. And having thus learned to forgive in this hardest of situations, I never again had the difficulty of forgiving. I wish I could say that. I wish I could say that merciful and terrible thoughts just naturally flow from me from then on. But they didn't. As Christians, it is making the choice to forgive others when we don't want to. Forgiveness does not come naturally. And we cannot forget this. And we need to accept God's grace, God's help for us to forgive, but to go there, regardless of what we feel. It means showing mercy to those who have hurt us, as we have been shown mercy, abundant, infinite mercy through Jesus. And it means being aware that without God's grace, it could be us, and we could do much worse. It means humbling ourselves in the light of our sins before God, and thus giving favor to those who have hurt us. I love Colossians 3, 12 through 14. This Paul telling us how we're supposed to act. And it says, since God has chosen you to be holy people. And holy people means we're different than the world. He loves the holy people he loves. You must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, making allowance for each other's faults, and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. So I want to say, if you are struggling with unforgiveness, I want to say, please begin praying, God, help me to want to forgive, and then help me to forgive. Being willing to go through that process. And that process is never fun. But I'm sorry, the wound's already there. So you're going to let the wound not get healed, or you're going to go there because you want it to get healed? And then forgiveness is not something to take lightly. I really want to say, as I read the scripture, I can't deny it. It's an issue if you're going to go to heaven or hell. I know we are saved through Jesus Christ, but I can't get past, if you don't forgive, the Father will not forgive you. A couple of years ago, as I was preparing for a sermon on hell, I read a book by a woman who said she had a vision of going to hell. And in the vision, she asked God, why am I here? And God said, because you were unwilling to forgive. And she said, yeah. There was many times God, with the Holy Spirit, would convict her of forgiving a woman who had offended her, and she refused. Now, whether this vision's from God or not, I don't know. It does fit scripture. She said hell was terrifying. But in that time, she asked God, help me to forgive. And that's what he's asking. God, for us where we're stuck, help me to forgive. And I want to say, if you're struggling with unforgiveness, find people that you can be honest with and ask them to pray for you. A few years ago, I was deeply wounded by another pastor. And right away I was like, okay, this is not okay. And two of my closest friends, I began asking them, I need help. I need you to be praying for me that I can forgive. And for those, again, like those deeper wounds, it took me about 2 years. And I would say to this day, I still pray for that person. There is no relationship. There's been no repentance on his part. But I want him to be right before God. And I don't dwell on what he did anymore. It still, the temptation pops up. But I have a choice where I'm going to grab a hold or not. And early on, it felt like it just sucked me in. But as I worked through the process, it's like, nah, not going there. And truly, consistently praying, God, bring repentance. He's right before you. More than anything, I want him to be right before God. We're called to love our enemies. We're called to love those who hurt us. And we can't take it lightly. And also, if you're stuck, I'm more than happy. I would be honored to meet with you and see if we can work that through, that you can forgive. Because I want to say, there's no joy walking in unforgiveness. And I would say, there is great joy when you can truly forgive. But I would say, it's by the grace of God, and we need God's help because it does not come naturally. So let's pray. God, I truly pray that if we wrestle with unforgiveness with someone, convict us. But then I pray for the grace to choose to walk down that process of forgiving, out of obedience and love for you, that we would not stay there. And Lord, where we just do not want to forgive, help us begin by praying, God, help me want to forgive. God, this is your desire for us, to forgive and to walk in love. And I just pray that for everyone here, that you would give us the grace to do so. In the name of Jesus, amen. So we're going to go into a time of prayer. Prayer request, Larry.